Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Romans chapter 12. We'll continue through Romans chapter 12, and we're going to look this morning at verses 3 through 8. Romans chapter 12, 3 through 8, but we'll begin our scripture reading in verse 1 to hear that context. So we'll read Romans 12, verses 1 through verse 8. Hear God's word. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches in his teaching. The one who exhorts in his exhortation. The one who contributes in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. The reading of God's word. Let's pray together and ask God to bless this word to us, that he would change us and mold us to his image. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your great mercy. We thank you for your abounding grace. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace this morning, you would use this word in our lives, not just so that we would be taught something new, but Lord, that by you speaking to us, we would be transformed and that we would grow. As the new creatures you have made us to be, we would grow in our love for you, in our love for each other, and in our renewed thinking, be transformed to serve with humility, taking our place in the body that you have created by your grace, taking our place to serve the rest of the members by the gifts that you have given. And we pray this in Jesus' great name. Amen. So we've just launched into Romans chapter 12, where Paul begins to tell us about what the Christian life needs to look like as it has been grounded in the gospel, as it's been defined by the grace of God. He says, based on that grace, you are to offer yourselves as living sacrifices. And you remember that he tells us the way that we're to pursue offering ourselves as sacrifices is to be renewed in our thinking. God transforms us. He changes us as our thinking is renewed. And the first new way that Paul wants us to think has to do with our service in the church. So he says, in verse 2 there, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And then there in verse 3, he says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. You see, he's saying pursue transformation by renewed thinking. And here's the first thing I want you to think about. I want you to think about yourself, particularly how you serve the church with your gifts, how you serve the church with your gifts. And most importantly, I want you to think so that you serve with humility. I want you to think in a certain way so that you serve with humility. That's what Paul's after here. Humble service. Humble service in the church as we exercise our gifts. Humble service in the church as we exercise our gifts. Now, how do we get there? How do we consistently participate in humble service? What do we need to think about? How does our thinking need to be renewed such that we get to the place where we are all participating in humble service in the church? Because it's tricky, isn't it? We got a couple pitfalls that we face if we think about the pursuit of humble service. On the one hand, if you recognize that you are gifted, then there's a huge tendency towards pride. There's a massive tendency towards pride. On the other side of things, if you don't think that you're gifted, then you can lapse into just feeling insignificant and live in the church as if you are completely irrelevant and unimportant. And it's almost as if we're constantly bouncing back and forth, maybe between those two poles, those two extremes, those two different mistakes. I'm feeling unimportant. I don't see myself as having a place in the body where I can contribute. I don't see that I'm really gifted. Not like those other people are gifted. I'm just unimportant. But then as soon as we get some affirmation, maybe as soon as we are used in a way that we notice, as soon as a gift is acknowledged, then we start to swell up with pride. Humble service, where we are active in service, active in utilizing our gifts, using our gifts for the good of the body, but in a humble way, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. So we need to know, how do we get there? How do we think in a way that leads us to that place? Because it's so important. It's so important. Just think about the importance with me in this way. Think about the beauty of humble service in the church. The beauty of humble service in the church. Think about it by first thinking about its opposite. What if the church is a place, what if our church is a place where all we have is pride on the one hand and insignificance on the other? People puffed up with pride on the one hand, gifted, but using their gifts in arrogance and with a prideful attitude on the one hand, or on the other hand, others in the church that just feel unimportant. How awful would that be? How awful is that kind of scenario? On the other hand, think of the beauty of everybody in the church recognizing their importance and their significance to the rest of the body, but no one puffed up above the others. No one pursuing the exercise of their gifts for selfish gain or recognition, but all together working in a way where everyone is built up to the glory of God. Humble service, active in service, but with humility. What a wonderful thing that is. So how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, Paul tells us how we need to have renewed thinking about ourselves and our relationship in the church that leads us then to humble service. There's four truths about ourselves that lead us to humble service. Sorry, it's not three, but you can be glad it's not five. Paul wasn't constrained by the rules of preaching, okay? So four truths here about ourselves that lead us to humble service. And the first is this: you are gifted. You are gifted. Look at the end of verse 3. Read verse 3 with me again. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, everyone, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each or every, the word can go either way, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. You see, he's saying, I'm talking to all of you in the church, each of you to think soberly, each of you to think according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, by measure of faith there, There's a few different ways we could take that. I think in the context, and we always want to understand difficult phrases or not difficult phrases. We always want to understand phrases in their context, right? Always words in their context. And by measure of faith there, I don't think in this context he's saying how much trust in God that God has given you. But I think he's using the word faith to stand for what we receive by faith. And the word faith can be used in that way. The word faith can refer to our act of trust in God. It can also refer to what we trust in, the doctrine of our faith, right? Defend the faith once delivered to the saints. It can also be used in a way that it stands for what faith receives. In other words, the spiritual gifts that we receive from God. And in this context, where Paul is clearly talking about God giving spiritual gifts, I think that's what he means there by measure of faith. So he's saying, each of you think soberly about yourselves according to how each of you has been given a spiritual gift. And it's made plain, even if measure of faith, even if I'm not interpreting that properly there in verse 3, it's made very plain in verses 5 through 6 that everyone is gifted by God, right? Because he uses the analogy of the body. Look at verse 4 through 6 again and notice how everyone is gifted. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them. If you've got this, use it. If you've got this, use it. If this gift, use this. If this other gift, use it. Everyone, you see, is gifted. You are gifted. Now, this passage doesn't tell us how to discern your gift. Discerning your gift, because you may be asking right now, okay, you're saying I'm gifted. I don't know what my gift is. Discerning a gift is a matter of wisdom and talking to other people in the church. Feel free to talk to me about this. Talk to other people that know you. What am I drawn to? What am I good at? We need to be talking to each other about this. There's not a set way laid out in Scripture that says here are the five ways you discern your gift. It's a matter of wisdom. But it's clear that it's not impossible or ultimately really, really hard to discern a gift. It's really not. But just for now, sticking with this passage, talk to me later about maybe what your gift is. But for now, at least know you are gifted. And if you're younger, it may take you a little while to figure out what that gift is because you're still growing and developing and changing. Just know, though, you are gifted. It doesn't matter your age. You are gifted. But secondly, the second truth we need to think according to so that we live lives of humble service is this. You are a gifted member of the body who, no matter how gifted, is dependent on the other parts. You, no matter how gifted, are dependent on the other parts of the body, those that are different than you. In other words, there is no gift that is such a gift that the person gifted with that gift doesn't need every other member of the body. Doesn't matter how great, how outstanding and incredible your gift is. Think soberly about yourself. You need all the other gifts. Every other member of the body. You're dependent upon them. We're dependent on each other. We need each other. So on the one hand, you are not so small. Your gift is not so insignificant that you're not a needed part of the body. And on the other hand, you are not so great that you don't need the most quote unquote insignificant part. And that's the way bodies work, right? Have you ever had an ingrown toenail? You know what I'm talking about? Little tiny part of the body. A part that I mean, to be honest, I never reached down there and pay attention to my toes. I don't even put soap on them most of the time. Not to get too personal. I'm just saying I ignore my toes. I don't care about my toes. I'm not painting my toes. But when you get an ingrown toenail, your whole body feels it. You take a step and you're in pain. You can't think properly because you're in pain. Ugly little toe, that little pinky, little wee, wee, wee all the way home can take you down. The insignificant parts, quote unquote, are massively significant. The most important parts are utterly dependent. And this means we need to be celebrating our differences because we're dependent on those differences. We need each other in our differences. We need you. Everyone should say of everyone else, I need you, as small as you might be. And the greatest among us, so to speak, there's a lot of air quotes going on in this sermon, right? But the greatest among us, we can say to them, yeah, we're glad we have you, but it's good that not everyone is like you, right? We need all the difference. So no matter how great you are, as part of the body, you need everyone else. You are gifted, but you are in your giftedness also completely dependent upon all the other gifted members. Thirdly, you not only need the other parts, you belong to the other parts. Humble service is driven, or humble service is the result of us thinking according to this fact. You are gifted. In your giftedness, you still need the other members and their gifts. And thirdly, you belong to the other members. You are obligated towards every other member in the body. In other words, you aren't gifted for yourself. You are gifted for the other parts that you belong to. You've been given a gift by God, not so that you will be put in a place of privilege. You've been given a gift for the purpose of putting everyone around you in a place of privilege. The privilege of your gift belongs to everyone around you. It's not for you. You understand what I mean by that? It's yours. God has given you a gift, but the point of you being given a gift is not so you can sit back and say, "Woo, look at my gift. I'm going to enjoy my gift." The point of your gift is service, is the blessing of everyone around you. It's never about you. Your gift is never ultimately about you. Now, this will sober us up, won't it? Thinking about the fact that we belong to each other. Isn't that a sobering thought? Can you imagine if I had everyone here turn to their neighbor, better, someone sitting near you that's not a part of your family, and I had you say to that person, "I belong to you." That would be a bit awkward. Be a bit strange. It might even be downright hard to do. You know, I could turn to my wife and say, "I belong to you." I could turn to my children and say, "I belong to you." I could turn to my buddy and say, this is a little bit weird, but yeah, okay, I belong to you. But what about that person in the church that it's hard for you to get along with? Right? Maybe you've run into some trouble before. Your differences cause a little bit of friction. That person that you have to pray about interacting with in a loving manner. That person it doesn't come natural to be at peace with, right? That person, imagine turning to that person and saying, "I belong to you." That sounds overboard. It also sounds exactly like what Paul is saying here. Just read again the end of verse 5. We, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Individually, we belong to each other. There's no way around it. Your gift is the body's gift. Your gift belongs to the body. You are obligated to serve, even as all the other gifts, all the other members are obligated to serve you. You are obligated to serve the rest of the body. That'll lead us to humble service, won't it? To humble service. But fourthly, the fourth key truth that if we conform our thinking to will lead us to humble service is this. It is by God's grace that you are gifted. And this is the thing that Paul really emphasizes. Whatever you have not because you deserve it. It's a display of God giving you what you don't deserve. And isn't this the Christian life? The Christian life in its entirety, one might say, is a display of God giving us what we don't deserve. This is what is at the heart of it. If you are exploring the Christian faith, you're hearing us talk about the need for humble service. That's a very important part of Christianity, but Christianity is really centered around this idea, not of us doing obedience to God so that we earn anything from Him and deserve His approval and deserve heaven. It's not about gaining by deserving. The core of the Christian life is God giving us what we do not deserve. So on the one hand, this means the fact that you don't deserve a gift doesn't mean you're not gifted. If you're struggling with feeling insignificant or unimportant, one of the things that might contribute to that is an idea of, yeah, but look at me. My life is a mess. I'm struggling so much with sin. How could I be a gifted member of the church? It's not about what you deserve. It's about God giving you what you don't deserve. But on the other hand, if you are in that position of recognizing that you're gifted, you need to realize, yeah, you know why you're gifted? Do you know why you're so gifted? Because you don't deserve it. That's why God is giving you a gift, because He's showing off His grace. It is by grace that we are gifted. And notice how Paul emphasizes this. Verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Paul starts it off that way. For by the grace given to me, I say to you. Paul is saying here that I'm acting as an apostle. I'm bringing you a command of God. But I can claim to be apostle only because of God's grace to me. It is by God's grace that I am an apostle. 1 Corinthians, Paul really drives this home. He says, I am, and this is 1 Corinthians 15, I am the least of the apostles, right? Because I persecuted the church of God. We heard about this in Sunday school. Paul was recognized the fact that he was an apostle untimely born and was the least of the apostles. He's the guy that had the least right to become an apostle. He's the guy that deserved it the least. Why? Because he persecuted the church of God. But he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. The apostle Paul is himself a living example of the mercy and the grace and the patience of God, because he took the apostle Paul, an extreme rebel against Jesus, a direct opponent of Jesus and the church, And God took him and by his grace brought him to himself and then gifted him with apostleship and used him to spread his grace and to bring others into salvation. We're talking about the Apostle Paul here, and the Apostle Paul says, it's only by grace that I am what I am. And then in verse 6, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Now that's even, we might translate verse 6 this way because the word gift there is really, it's charismata. It's a word that means gracious gift. So we might translate verse 6 this way, having gifts of grace that differ according to the grace given to us. Paul refers to the gifts that we have using the word grace. Why? Because those gifts are so gracious. They're purely of grace. They're not earned by us in the slightest. So Paul is saying here, you need to think soberly about yourself. You need to think humbly about yourself. You need to recognize that no matter who you are gifted, but you are graciously gifted. You are a graciously gifted and obligated part of Christ's body. Humble service needs to define your life because you are a graciously gifted and obligated part of Christ's body. Now that's very convicting, isn't it? It corrects us. It corrects us in our thinking, whether we are on that side of not being very engaged in the church, not really pursuing service out of a sense that, I don't really have something to contribute. And so we're inactive. We've bought into the lie that we're unimportant. This convicts us and says, you have no idea. You are gifted and need to be about recognizing your gift and using your gifts. Or on the other side, if we are those who've had our gifts affirmed, and especially in times when we see the Lord using those gifts in the body, we need to be careful to think soberly about ourselves, to not get puffed up, but to realize it's all by grace that I'm gifted. And this gift is not for me. It is for all the other bodies, all the other members of the body, that I am dependent upon myself, that I so desperately need. This corrects. But there's also great, great comfort here in thinking about the fact that this humble service is to be driven or pursued in with knowledge of God's grace. The fact that our gifts are a product of God's grace convicts us because it denounces our pride, but it also brings great comfort, and we need to recognize that this humble service is fueled and motivated and blessed because of God's grace, because we are defined by God's grace. Because realizing that this is all about God's grace to us in Jesus does a couple things. In the first place, it helps us to pursue it not as a condemning burden. It helps us to accept the correction that comes here. It helps us to pursue repentance, to pursue humility on the one hand, and pursue activity and selfless giving on the other. It helps us pursue those things, but not as a burden. A condemning burden that we're carrying and saying, well, I better get my act together. I better be humble. I better be serving, or God's going to be angry with me. My salvation might not be secure. I better get after this. Okay, God, I heard you. I'll obey. Instead, we can say, no, we don't carry this as a burden. This is a call upon our lives. God is commanding us here. But he's commanding us as those who are defined already by His grace, by His love, by His guarantee that all of our pride has been forgiven in Jesus Christ. And that the righteousness of Jesus Christ counts for us. He's wanting us to pursue performance here. He's wanting us to pursue humble service, but as those who realize that our performance is not what defines us. We're not to be centered on our performance, because we're not defined by our performance. We're defined by the performance of Jesus for us. We are, after all, one body in Christ. Did you see those two words in the middle of our passage? Look again at verse 4 and following. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. Verse 5, so we, though many, are one body in Christ. Paul is saying, what defines us is God's grace to us in Christ Jesus. And that means God's grace that has united us to Jesus Christ. And by being joined to Jesus Christ, He's taken on our sin. He's suffered for all our failure, for all our prideful performance, and for all of our lack of service. He was judged for us. And His perfect righteous performance is counted for us. I mean, think about the life of Jesus. What defines the life of Jesus? The Son of God, what defines Him and His life if not humble service? That's Philippians 2, isn't it? That Christ came as a man, took on the form of a servant, was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Humble service, and every part of that perfect life of humble service has been given to you by God's grace because you are in Christ. So we pursue performance. We are after ourselves. We are after a life of humble service. But we do that as those who are in Christ, who are defined not by our performance, but are defined by the performance of Christ for us. And that also means then that we are not left to ourselves in this pursuit. He is with us. In His grace, He is with us, gifting us, shaping us, helping us, and so that we can say, by God's grace, I have a part to play, and I'm therefore going to play it. I have a part to play by God's grace. I have works to perform by God's grace, not in any way to secure my salvation, but because of the work of Jesus Christ for me, having already secured my salvation perfectly, in His grace, He has also given me a part to play. That I play without the burden of my sins and guilt, without the burden of my failure to play the part perfectly. And not because I'm striving to attain His favor, but in the freedom and joy that comes from the fullness of His favor already granted to me in Jesus. Having my burden taken away, I'm now free to play this part in His body that He's given me to play. So I'm going to play it. Not worrying about all that I'm not. I will pour myself out in every way I can, trusting that God has gifted me and will bless my service. And that's why Paul lists these gifts here like he does. To say, wherever you might be gifted, whatever your gift might be, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Right? Notice the tone there in verse 6 and following. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy,
in proportion to our faith, if service and our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness, those are just examples. He could go on and on and on, but what is he saying? He's saying whatever your gift is, use it. Use it. Just use it. Just go for it. Pour yourself out as one who is defined by the grace of God and therefore gifted for service. Let's pray together. Lord, we so thank you that in your grace, you renew our thinking. And we pray, Lord, that we would be a people who recognize that we are gifted, who recognize our dependence on all the other gifts, who see that we belong to each other, and who know that all of this comes to us by your grace that defines us, and that grace that therefore motivates us to pursue humble service. Lord, for everyone here that isn't sure of how they can contribute to the body, give wisdom and help us as a body to encourage each other in where we are gifted. Help those who are gifted to be humble. Help the smallest and youngest among us know that you use them. And help us, Lord, all to take on the challenge in the church of humble service by resting in your grace to us in Jesus and remembering day by day that our performance does not define, but your performance for us. So, Lord, by your great grace, may we play our parts. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.